It's working, and you've reached the sniffer.
I'm Nora.
I'm Kathy. Hi.
Hi, we've relocated to my place this time, so if it sounds a bit echoey, that's why, because there's no furniture in the living room.
Yes. And I think I'm the one with a big story, one of my favorite topics, actually. I was really pleased about this. California, the good old US of A, is jumping on the solar bandwagon in a big way.
Yeah, I heard about this. You're all about the renewable energy sources. So what are they doing? It's something in California, right?
Yeah, well, one thing is they're offering tax incentives of $2,000, which always helps. But the other thing that I found was really interesting is that within the next 13 years, they're saying that half of the new houses will be powered by solar energy.
Is that's amazing. Maybe as sort of like not completely off the grid, but that's their default power source, and then you can kind of convert to the grid if you need to.
Yeah, I would think that that's what they do. But when you think about California, how much sun they get down there, they'd be able to run their heating. They would also be able to run, you know, like heat their hot water. I don't know how you could run AC with that, though. Do you? I would think I'd need one of my wind power generators.
Absolutely. But you know, the other thing that is interesting about that solar thing is how much the prices have gone up.
Yeah, that kind of, when I read that shocked me, and also the wait times, because in the old days, this guy was saying, you know, like I had tons of product, but absolutely no customers. And now people are buying into solar systems. They're getting told that it's going to cost a certain price. They pay, and it's supposed to be in a few weeks, like 4 or 5 months later, it's still not there. And then the prices are bumped up. I don't think it's doubling, but I think it's going up something like $1 a megawatt, and they can afford it's supply and demand.
Yeah.
But I wonder when it's going to get competitive.
I don't know. I mean, I still think in a way, like, well, if you live in Southern Ontario, it's going to be, we don't get enough sun that it's ever going to be that realistic, I don't think.
Yeah, but okay, but look at me. It's like, I went to look at that wind turbine for up at the farm, $47,000. When you do the math, like, our hydro would have to be hideously expensive, because how long, you know, I think it takes that thing like about 15 years to pay for itself. But, you know, what's interesting is countries that are making this model feasible, like Germany, they are allowing, like in Canada, not, you know, you don't get paid if you generate power. But in Germany, they get paid, they're getting like a 10 to 13% return on their investment because Hydro Germany, or whatever it's called, they're paying people, and they're even paying them more than what traditional sources of electricity would cost. Like,
yeah, if you upload your surplus power to the grid, then you get actually more than, you can actually make a profit because you get more than it would actually cost you to use electricity off the grid.
Germany's amazing like that, and so is Japan.
Yeah, well, it's partly the Greens that are driving that, eh? But the thing that I thought was interesting that might be applicable for us is this idea of thin film, like the flexible solar panels that you could basically like roll up and take away. I mean, we've talked so much about how the world is going sort of, well, it's not like we invented this idea. Everyone knows the world is going sort of wireless, digital, portable, and so on. But it would be very cool if you could like take your little kind of welcome mat roll-up solar panel thing and just plug in, you know, your cell phone, your iPod, or whatever.
Are you talking about the universal remote again, Nora? You've got power for your universal
remote? No, I'm not.
So that you can watch E.T. when you're camping, because she's a nature girl. But yeah, actually, I thought that film was amazing, because you could put it over your car, you can put it over like any kind of a house, your tent for your camping. You know, I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, I actually read about another really interesting art application of solar and wind power.
Do tell, Nora.
Well, remember those Buddha statues, those Bamiyan Buddhas that were in the desert in Afghanistan that the Taliban exploded in, I think it was in March of 2001?
Yeah, they're sort of compare the Twin Towers going down with that, and that would being in March, the other in September is, yeah.
Well, now there's this artist, he's American, he's Japanese-born, but has lived in America for a long time. His name is Hiro Yamagata, and he's designing basically virtual Buddhas. So he has this system all designed, which would be like basically a system of lasers that project 140 layered Buddha images in different kinds of patterns and colors in the desert.
Like a psychedelic Buddha.
Remember like Laser Floyd, you know, when you were a kid? It's kind of Laser Buddha, you know, that kind of thing.
Just another brick in the wall. Yeah, but okay, but I'm trying to understand this. Does that mean, would it be like a hologram Buddha?
Basically, yeah, they're like layered projections, light projections in different colors and textures. So it would appear kind of like if not exactly 3D, at least a multi-layered series of Buddhas, and they're going to be huge. And because, of course, there's no power in the Afghan desert where the Buddhas originally were, it's all going to be powered by solar, which there's lots of sunlight there, and by wind.
That's neat. I wonder how much it's costing.
I think it's in the mega millions of dollars, and they're he's still trying to raise money for it.
But it would still be cheaper, because I know at one point they were talking about reconstructing them, but I think that's been abandoned, like sort of building them virtually. I don't know. That's kind of neat, because it's like maintaining the sense of the importance of Buddhism there, but also putting a 21st century spin on it.
Yeah, and somehow I think it's something that the Buddha would approve of. It's because it's kind of talking in a weird way about sort of, you know, the transience of experience and the falseness of trying to impose permanence on things which are inherently transitory.
And that's it for this edition of
The Sniffer. Send us an email to thesniffer@technologian.org and visit our blog. You can find links there. We're at thesniffer.libsyn for liberatedsyndication.com. See ya.
Bye.